It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with verse 13. Genesis chapter 27, verse 13. And so as you'll please open your Bibles to look to that chapter and verse that you can follow along, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and read along with me. Genesis chapter 37, beginning to read with verse 13. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock of Shechem, come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here I am. And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed here, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we may say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors, that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. And then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph up out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and returned unto his brethren, and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat, and killed a kid of goats, and dipped the coat in the blood, and they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father, and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it. He said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him, and Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I will go down into the grave and to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, I thank you today that we can enjoy this time. Please that you will guide and lead us and show us, Father, each step that we need to take. It's so important, Lord, that we walk with you and we desire to serve you. It is exciting, Father, to be a child of God. It's exciting, Father, to be your son in bought and paid for by the blood of your son, the Lord Jesus, so we can be called a brother to the Lord Jesus. It's great, Father, that we have a wonderful life to live, serving you and praising you and honoring you, Lord. Each day that you have opened the doors for us that we may live another day, I ask that that day be a day of service to you, that we may again bring honor and glory and praise to your name. Now please, Lord, I just want your will done as we study this section of Scripture here when we're talking about this man named Joseph. And just guide and lead us now, please. Those that do not know you as their Savior, please let these words penetrate their hearts, that they will be convicted of their sin and they'll come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Please, Lord, please do a work today in all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we come here and we find we had gotten down through the 14th verse, but as I looked back, I wanted to begin there because Israel had called Joseph. The rest of the brothers were all out in the field tending to the flock. And he said, you know, all your brothers are in the area of Shechem. I want you to go and check on them, see how they're doing, and bring a report back to me. Now, we find some things through the previous verses that we had just studied, and some of the things are not things that would make us very happy. We find that Joseph was favored very much by Jacob, his father, to the point that it had brought on a high level of jealousy amongst the rest of the brothers. And they had such a jealousy for him. He would receive some special gifts, which this coat was one of them. I would suppose he probably is gaining special honors that the other brothers have not received. And so this jealousy just continues to grow to the point that it grows to a hatred. It grows to the point that they would like to murder him. And we have the two dreams that are listed here in the earlier verses. And when we look at those dreams, why, that just makes the brethren all the more angry. Instead of recognizing that God has his hand on this man, there's something special about our little brother Joseph. We better pay attention to him. Instead of that, why, they just became more and more angry, poked fun even at some of the statements that Joseph made, particularly when he began to say that his dream said that they would bow down to him. That just didn't set very well. And the second one was even, mom and dad will bow down to him. And that didn't set very well. And so now we have Israel, being Jacob, sending Joseph down to check on his brethren that's down at work and tending to these flocks. Well, we have an obedience here very quickly. It says, "Here am I." And so in the end of verse 13, so Joseph listens to the call of his father and immediately will go. And he says, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brother and well with thy flocks and with the flocks, and bring me word again so he sent him out from the Vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now, we find this location, and we looked it up. It was up north last time we were together, and it seems strange because you would think from the area that they are around Hebron that they would be working their way southward, because if you remember what I've just read, what do they do with this son, this young man named Joseph? And he isn't very old, if you'll remember right. I believe him to be 17 years old. He's not very old. And so this, you know, not hardly old enough to be out tending to the flocks. We have, again, this jealousy that is here and this hatred that is here. The reason, again, that if you'll remember, it was a great love that they had, that Jacob had for his wife. And we have the two wives, and it was going to be a problem, if you remember, because we have Leah and Rachel. And when we find that he desired with all of his heart to have Rachel, and then the father-in-law, these ladies, his wives to be, Laban gave him Leah first. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel. He didn't draw any more love towards Leah. He loved Rachel and he desired Rachel. Well, Rachel gave him two children, Joseph and Benjamin. And those two children then is part of the reason that that I believe he looks at Joseph, desires to have Joseph, to care better for Joseph, all these things. There's so many things that he wants and shows more respect towards Joseph than he does to the other brethren, because they are from the one that he loved and he loved so much. He shouldn't have. It isn't right, but that's what he did anyway. And in doing so, why he again has acquired a hatred into the rest of the brothers that are here. And however he was treated, Joseph still was very obedient. And that's something we need to see here, that if you're, you know, your parents love you and care for you, you see as a child that you be obedient. You know, they're doing their best they can to lift you up, to raise you, and to raise you properly. And one thing that you can do to help them, and that's be obedient to what they have you to do. And we have a perfect example here of Joseph. Joseph, again, was a very young man, and yet when his God called him, he says, "Here am I." And when he told him where to go, he went there. He didn't question it. He didn't say, "I don't want to go down there." And don't you think for a minute that he didn't know that his brethren hated him. I don't think that Israel or Joseph, either one, knew the level of hatred that was there. But they knew that they weren't getting along. He still sent him down. You check on them, see how they're doing, and bring me a report back. That's what he desired to do. And so in verse 15, we find that a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering. You see, he'd went to Shechem, and he'd looked all over, up and down the hills and every place else. Joseph did, looking for the rest of his brothers and the flock, and he couldn't find them. And so we find that he went on from there then. From this time, this place, when he ran into this gentleman, and the fella asked him, he says, "What do you? I seek my brethren." Verse 16 says, "Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." Well, the man says, "You know, I'm not sure, but I heard them say that they may go to Dothan." And now Dothan is getting, from where they started here, some estimated to be as much as 100 miles. That's a long way to move the flock and the sheep. But the purpose was is in feeding the sheep and caring for the sheep, I'm sure. At the same time, they may have had a motive here that's kind of hidden just a little bit, because they may have desired to get Joseph. They probably knew that Israel would send Joseph to them to check out to see how everything was going, and thought, "Hey, we'll get this young man far enough away from home, and we'll take care of him there to where we don't have to ever worry about him again." And so it was a plot against them without question, a plot that was put into place long before they ever got to this place called Dothan. And now we find, and Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan, and that's the end of verse 17. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Now again, was this in the plan before they saw Joseph, and they just, as they finally saw him coming, and it was very evident who he was. Remember, he has that coat of many colors, so they could see him from a long ways off. And did they get amongst themselves and say, okay, today is the day. We're going to get rid of this, and they call him. Look at this. And then they saw him afar off. Even before he came near unto them, verse 18, they conspired against him to slay him. Now, verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. And I want you to see the 20th verse. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. Now, they've set out here. They have set out to kill him, to destroy this man. Now, these dreams that he was said that he had, where did these dreams come from? I hope you remember that these dreams came from the Lord. That's where they came from. They had come from the Lord. And so now you see, as we look at this and look carefully, what we see is that they have no desire to know or to learn the will of God. They didn't, when they first heard the dream, they didn't say, oh, this dream is of God, we need to listen. Even though he's one of the youngest of us, we still need to listen, because if God said there's a purpose, there's a reason for it. Instead of that, they poked fun at his message. They said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. See, that's the way they made fun. Now, was it something that Joseph had done? Is the reason that that they were calling him that? Yes, it was, because I think that he was being used of God. He was obedient to God, and God has shown him through this dream. But instead of the other brothers accepting that and looking at that as being something from God, look what they did. They made fun of it. They made fun of. What else did we have through the scripture here in the New Testament, particularly that when one had come among them, that they made fun of him? Maybe the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe so. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't he obedient to his Father to come? Yes, he was. Didn't the Father know what the Son was coming into? Didn't the Son know that he was coming into a people that hated him? Yes, they did. Both of them knew that. And so we have a lot of comparisons here, a lot of beautiful pictures and examples between Joseph and the Lord Jesus. We find him not only being sent, we find him coming, and now we find him before his brethren. And even as he comes from afar off, they are poking fun at the words that he had heard from God in his dream. And they sure poked fun at the Lord Jesus. And so we understand the beautiful pictures that we have here. And again, they said in verse 19, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And that we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. What was his dream? He will rule over them. So you see, let's come back to the Lord Jesus. Jesus says, I am going to rule over you. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. I am God. Well, they didn't recognize that either, did they? We'll put him to death, and we'll see then if he can save anyone. He can't even save himself. Remember those words that we read in the New Testament? read in the Gospels when they crucify the Lord Jesus? Well, here they did the same thing. They said, we shall see what will become of his dreams. You see, they didn't recognize it to be the power of God at all, nor did they care. But I'll tell you what, when God sets out to do a work, that work's completed. And this man Joseph is a servant of God, and there is a job for him to do. And this sure does seem to be a strange way to become over someone by beginning to be a servant. But isn't that the way it is too? Now we find in verse 21 that Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." Reuben, it's kind of a strange place here for Reuben, because you see, Reuben is the eldest. If anyone was to have the birthright, if anyone is to rule over someone else, it should be Reuben. But he hears of this plan, maybe even is kind of part of it, I don't know. But then all of a sudden he realizes how far it's getting out of hand. And it's time to put it to an end. And so he said, you know, we're not going to kill him. We're not going to shed his blood. Let's just throw him in that pit over there. Well, all the time Reuben thought that he could at some point in time get him back out of that pit and take him back home to his father. Well, the other brothers didn't quite agree. They agreed with that for the period of time. So they kind of ponder on what to do, because they didn't know Reuben's plan was to take him back home. They still had no plans of Joseph ever going back home. And they still had it in their mind the possibility of killing him. It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it, and they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood?" What profit is there? That's what Judah. Now, we started out with Reuben. He decided he was going to do something. Now, has Judah kind of had a little change of plan too, and says, "Wait a minute, this is just a little bit much," because he is our flesh and blood, and you know, or did he think, what's the gain to kill him? We'll get rid of him, but why don't we sell him? And here come these Ishmaelites down the line, and so come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. In other words, as if that was something that was better. In other words, we wouldn't be the ones to actually put him to death. And so the blood won't be on our hands. You know, it kind of sounds a little bit too, what did, instead of the Jews taking Jesus out and stoning him to death, what did they do? They brought him to Rome. And they says, "Here, crucify him. You need to crucify him." And they wanted them to do the dirty work, didn't they? Rome, instead of the Jews doing it themselves. You know, they had no authority to crucify. And so, but they were sure well enough known to be stoning someone to death. But they chose not to do that. They want somebody else to do the dirty work. Well, here it seems like maybe it's kind of the same way, that they see these Ishmaelites coming. You think, hey, we'll get a few bucks out of him, and they can take him down to Egypt, sell him down there for a slave. And we know that there's only one thing that happens to slaves. Slaves just work and work and work and work and die. That's it. They work and work and work and die. And so let's just let Joseph go down there, and he can be a slave to some Egyptian, and we'll never see him again. Don't worry about it. And so get a few bucks for him. So they made that deal. He was in the pit, and then Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Okay, that's all right. We just soon kill him, but that's okay. We can do that. So we're not sure what Judah's heart was. We're not sure what Reuben kind of decided here. Reuben wanted to take him back home. But then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, if you remember right, between the Ishmaelites and the Midianites, both of those are descendants of Abraham. And through another line, one is the is his second wife after Sarah had died, Abraham's wife, and then the other is through the handmaiden Hagar, was the Ishmaelites. And so these two, as they were traveling from their home down all the way to Egypt, it seems as though that they have kind of come together. And so both of these groups, their family, to an extent. So both these groups departed and headed towards the land of Egypt. And on their way here, they find, and so when you see the confusion a little bit there between the Ishmaelites and the Midianites, don't give it a thought, because probably both groups were traveling. And when they got there, why, they sold Joseph, the Ishmaelites, for 20 pieces of silver. Now, doesn't that ring a bell again? 20 pieces of silver. And so we find the silver has been something that has purchased many a man's blood, hasn't it? Been responsible for the purchase of man's blood. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Reuben returned unto the pit. And somewhere along the line, Reuben was gone here. He didn't have a part they had a part in putting him in the pit, but we're not sure what happened to Reuben. Maybe he was out checking the flocks and came back. Again, he was the eldest. He was responsible. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit. He rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And in other words, where should I look for him? And that was the first time that they kind of realized, I think, that Reuben had plans of taking this young man back home again. And the rest of them thought, throw him in the pit, forget him. And if he dies, he dies. If he doesn't, he doesn't. It's okay. This was a fine idea, to sell him into slavery down in Egypt. And so he wanted to know where they were. And where can I look? Reuben asked. And I don't know. It doesn't really say that they told him what they had done. I feel like they probably did. But then they added to the problem here, and they took his coat, and they killed kid goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Now know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." They knew exactly whose coat it was, and so did Jacob or Israel. He knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he says, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. It seems as though that Israel is not walking by faith once again. He is more walking by the flesh. And yes, he does miss Joseph, but there is a point in the time of mourning, and then it's a time to continue with life. It seems as though that he is going to mourn for him to his grave. Well, he's actually not dead. Look at that little trick that they did. They dipped the coat in the blood just as if he was torn to pieces, and then took that coat back to to his father to show him. Now, isn't that something? Now, I've shown you several pictures concerning the Lord Jesus Christ here, but most important, and that is what Jesus Christ did for you. He died on the cross of Calvary that you can live. Will you please come by faith? Have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus today, please. Call upon him now. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?